And now for our scripture. I'll first be reading from Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship and daughtership. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager anticipation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. And also from Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I appreciate all the ways that we've already been introduced to the theme of freedom. And so I just want to share some thoughts. And to think that throughout this year that we would revisit that theme, that we are both freed from things in Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, and also freed for things. We never only talk about being freed from things, but always what that means, what that frees us up to be able to do in the Lord. So as we begin, I'd just like you to think in your own life, something that holds you captive, something that keeps you from God's better intentions for your life or for this world. Maybe that's just for you yourself or for your people, whoever your people are, family, church, your culture. How do we desire to be breaking free from these things that seem to bind us? And maybe a good image to imagine is if you've seen the Forrest Gump movie, early on as a child, Forrest Gump has braces on his legs, and there's a scene where some boys are teasing him and throwing rocks at him, and his friend Jenny says, you know, run, Forrest, run. And he starts to run. It's really mechanical. He's got these braces on his legs. And then after a while, you can just see that his legs are starting to stride out more and more, and these braces start to break apart and fall off, and he just takes off, you know. And I think he says, from that moment on, I was running, you know. And so just imagine that kind of just breaking free to truly move into God's true intentions for you. So when we think about God's intervention in this world, we could use a lot of different themes. Deliverance or healing, forgiveness, and so forth. But here we want to focus on the language of freedom, that God has come. He sent his son to set us free. And again, as Donna mentioned, we live in this culture where we're saturated with the language of freedom. Now, in our founding fathers, one of the key phrases was, give me liberty or give me death, you know. The Declaration of Independence says the Creator has endowed us with these inalienable rights life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And so that's just from the ground up, it's a part of what, how we speak as a nation. We talk about people fighting and dying for our freedom, or people lament that they're taking away my freedoms. It's just a really important concept for us. In the church, we're especially glad that there's the freedom of religious expression, that we can gather on a Sunday morning like this, not feel as if in any way we're going to be repressed in our religious expression or activities. But as Christians, we're not mainly part of a nation, we're part of the kingdom of God. And so what does freedom mean for us as people of the kingdom? What kind of value does it have? So I'd like to, for a moment, go to the Confession of Faith in a Mennonite Perspective, and the one article is about sin. It's about our condition that needs God's intervention. It's about where we're at and why we need freedom from the Lord. So I just want to quote a few things, and listen for the language of being enslaved or being set free. And that sin isn't just, I made some bad choices, I got to do better there. You know, I can just make better choices and things are going to be fine between me and God. So it says, because of sin, humanity has been given over to the enslaving powers of evil and death. The more we sin, the more we become trapped in sin. If you've ever been caught in the snow or stuck in the snow, the more it seems you try to get out of it, the more you get stuck in the snow. And that's kind of the way sin often works in our lives. The enslaving nature of sin is apparent in the powers of evil, which work through both individuals and groups throughout the entire created order to turn people away from what's right and what's just. We get stuck there. And we get to this place where we say, this just isn't where I want to be. This isn't what life is all about. This isn't the way I should be. But we can feel powerless or trapped in that. And that of a story, big news like a couple of years ago. If you remember, there's 12 boys in Thailand, part of a soccer team, and their coach, and they went caving, and they got like 2.5 miles back into these caves, and the rains came. It was a rainy season, and they got trapped in there. At least for me, that just freaks me out. That's my worst nightmare as far as being trapped somewhere. And the divers finally found them. It would take 6 hours for divers to make their way through the murky water and through the narrow spaces till they could get to these boys. And then there was the problem of how do we actually free them, you know. But I remember this picture of these boys up on this, kind of on a ledge in the cave, water all around them, and the diver kind of poking up. And I'm sure they're there saying, this is not where we want to be. We need to be set free. And so eventually they started this process of, like anesthetizing or sedating these boys, tethering them to a diver and working them through one by one. And they all made it through. Although one of the divers died, and a second diver died later because of some kind of blood infection. So they were freed at great effort, which should sound familiar to you in our spiritual beliefs with Jesus. And so just this desire, this yearning for freedom has just been part of our story of humanity since the beginning. And Adam and Eve, even at that moment when they thought they were gaining greater freedom, we'll be able to see things like God, you know, and understand things as he does. That's the moment they were plunged actually into greater bondage and in a sense brought us all into that, the bondage that sin brings us to. We actually sung though about how it's the language of the Hebrew salvation story, how they were brought from Egypt to the Promised Land. They were, you know, going through the waters of the Red Sea was the way that they were freed. Like that's kind of how they talked about their freedom. And so what I want to proposed for us this year is, like, this is what we can understand about freedom. In Jesus Christ, we experience release from the grip of forces that restrain us from true and abundant life that God created. You know, notice both a release from things that bind us, but then also a freedom to move into the true and abundant life that God created for us, for all creation. So kind of allow that to be the anchor for us. You know, it's our confession that Jesus in his life and death and resurrection broke the power of sin and death. That's what we put our faith in. That same power that broke Jesus out of the tomb, the power of the Holy Spirit is also that same power that can free us from those things that bind us, our sins, and especially death itself. And so, I'd just like to kind of pause here for a moment and hear a testimony. So there's a video testimonial, just to give an example of how one person had an experience of being set free.
Hi, my name is Anna, and this is my story. So, at about the age of 3 or 4, I remember always being faced with fear. Fear of people, fear of the dark, fear of the unknown, fear of growing up, fear of the future, fear of everything. I was always afraid. In my adolescent years, this never stopped. This kind of just grew. I remember being faced with a lot of depression, anxiety, isolation. Not because I didn't have love around me or I didn't have people around me, but fear felt more safe. Fear was a place of escape. And although fear was extremely tormenting, it felt comfortable. It didn't take much faith, much effort, much of a launch. I didn't feel like I had to launch myself or push myself to do things. It was a place of stillness, and I felt comfortable in that. It wasn't until when I was about 16 years old, God began to really move in my heart and show me himself, but also show me who I am in him. Show me the plan that he had always had for me. This meant that my relationship with fear had to die. I couldn't go into the future. I couldn't fulfill the plan that he had for my life while still hanging on to fear. And that scared me because what he called me to required the very thing that the enemy tried to use. The very thing God was trying to use for his glory, the enemy was trying to use, which was my mouth. I've always been quiet. I've always been shut up. I've always been muzzled. And God, yes, he's great. Yes, he's sovereign. Yes, he knows everything. But you being God, you're telling me that the very thing that I've shut up my whole life is the thing you want to use. I had to allow God to woo me with his love, because the only thing that would have allowed fear to really die was me embracing the love of God. The love of God is true. It's the realest thing that anyone can experience. Although it sounds very cliche, we all hear, yes, God is love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, but it's not until you allow that real knowledge of who God is, which is love, to wreck you, to move on your heart, to change your perspective of life, then you'll be able to be free from all forms of fear and anxiety. When I finally embraced that, I was able to even do things that I never thought I could do. I was able to stand before people and even speak to people on behalf of God, people that I've never would have thought I'd speak to. I was able to find freedom in saying yes to God. Any form of fear that you may be experiencing, that you may be facing, even if you feel like fear has become safe for you, I say to you, whatever it is, even if fear feels like a stumbling block, do it afraid. In Exodus, when God speaks to Moses through the burning bush, he tells him the plan that he has for his life and what he wants him to do in terms of, you know, speaking on behalf of him and leading the people into freedom out of captivity. And he says, Moses' response to him is,
thanks. Okay. So, as Donna read for us, the key verse for us in this series or this theme of freedom from and freedom for, it comes from Hebrews 12. Let's throw off everything that hinders. Let's throw off the sin that so easily entangles itself around us, and let's run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And so again, there's freedom from, just like in her testimony here, freedom from fear, but also a freedom for the true and abundant life that God has for us and for creation. The image actually that I pictured as I read this, obviously, Paul's using the imagery of a race, and like, Joshua, you're a cross-country runner, but just to imagine someone at the beginning of the starting point of a race, and all of a sudden having a backpack full of books thrown on top of them. I picture science books were always the heaviest that I had to carry, and not only that, but shoestrings would be tied together, you know, and that's the image that Paul's projecting here. If we were a Camp Hebron, I'd have you strike a pose right now of running with a backpack on your back and shoelaces tied together. But imagine trying that and then being able to take that backpack off and being able to untie or break off the knots, retie your shoes and just take off. It's the spiritual imagery that Paul's giving here. And then running with perseverance, running the race that we have, that God has for us. And so just as we go along throughout this year, we're going to revisit all the different ways, or many ways, that we're set free. Being freed from fear, being freed from the reliance on earthly treasures. It was one of the bags that Jan had for us. Being freed from desires or lusts of the heart. Being freed from guilt and shame, throwing that off. Being freed from the opinions of other people, being enslaved to what other people think of us. Being freed from anger and bitterness and unforgiveness that just corrupts our hearts. Being freed from religious self-sufficiency. You know, I have to make myself right before God. Being freed from this sense of worthlessness. I hear not so many, but I hear testimony that it breaks my heart of people who, these words have been spoken over them since they were a child, like, you're not going to amount to anything. What a burden that is to carry into life. Being freed from illness, physical, mental illness. Being freed from spiritual oppression. Being freed from injustice and hatred. Whether that's injustice and hatred projected towards us, or injustice and hatred towards others that we carry, and that corrupts our hearts. Being freed from poverty and above all these, being freed from death, as we think more eternally. So we're set free, and scripture makes it clear over and over again, it's not a freedom that now I can do whatever I want. But now we're freed to run the race that God has for us. We can run with perseverance, like Paul says. That perseverance isn't just that we just kind of hang in there till the finish line, but it's now we're running with purpose and we're running with focus, you know, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And so as we think about this moving forward, again, let's revisit that question from the beginning. Has the Holy Spirit put anything on your heart? Has a grip on your life that you would love for the Holy Spirit to break and allow you to be set free, to really walk in freedom? We need, first of all, to recognize that, to be able to act against it, and not to feel powerless. Like, if I could name the things in my life, over the years, I often feel like, I feel like I'm continuing to carry this. God, why don't you remove it from me? But we can act in faith and ask and seek and knock for the Holy Spirit to do that work. And to know that just as Peter describes it, this steadfast endurance or this perseverance, it's always a battle to be set free. You know, Martin Luther King, it's a battle to work for freedom. If you've dealt with addictions, it's a battle to overcome those addictions. Whatever your besetting sin is that you've been dealing with, it's a battle. But our hope and our faith is that the Holy Spirit, again, who raised Jesus from the dead, also can set us free from these things. And so where there's fear, now there can be love. Where there's reliance on earthly treasures, now we're free to find sufficiency in Jesus in our life. Where we were in bondage to lust, now we're free to be content and to be pure. Where we carry guilt and shame, now we can feel worthy and feel whole. Where we were burdened with the opinions of others, now what matters is how the Lord looks at us. Where there's anger and bitterness and unforgiveness, now there's joy and there's peace and reconciliation. Where there was religious self-sufficiency, now there's grace in our life. Where there was brokenness, now there's healing. Where there was spiritual oppression, now we're set free for spiritual wholeness. Where there was injustice and hatred, now there can be partnership and equity. So, let's just continue to ponder these things over the years and over the year. And we can see things in these terms of where is their strength and grace and power to overcome these things that seem to have such a grip on our lives. So just want to pray that as we move into this theme, that the Holy Spirit would move powerfully, both to open our eyes to what needs to be set free, but also the power to let us walk in freedom. So let's pray together. God, you're the God who sets captives free. We thank you, Lord, that in faith we can trust that same power that set Jesus free from death, from our sins, the burden of our sins, can now also set us free to a place of forgiveness and reconciliation with you, but also to walk out your true intentions for us. It's a slow and difficult journey often to move to that place of freedom. But you are faithful and you are true, and we trust in you. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen.